Welcome to Tart Club. Turgid Tomes is a wanton book club where we get together every other Wednesday to eat, drink, and discuss the latest romantical read. If you happened upon this podcast and don't like the F word or boners, now's your chance to GTFO. This is your official explicit content warning. This podcast is highly inappropriate and listener discretion is advised.
What are you doing? Yes, now is the perfect time to hop around in boxes and play with the kickeroo. Okay.
Greetings, fellow tarts. Ashley here, head hussy in charge. It's February, Valentine's month, and we're going with My Lover Vinny for the theme for all those mafia romances that we're finally getting around to reading. And we're going to start things off with Brutal Prince by Sophie Lark. And we have a new guest. We have Rainey with us here to discuss. Hello.
Hello.
So we know each other through a book club, IRL.
Yes.
Any, like, fun facts about anything you want to plug? Your booktube?
Oh, I mean, yeah, I have my booktube that I've been doing for like a year. It's very small, but I still love doing it. It's just Rainy Blue Reads. That's all my things are Rainy Blue Reads.
Yeah. And you have the bookstagram too.
Yeah.
Cool. So do you normally read mafia romance, or is this like a new kind of your first dip in?
I have not really read dark romance or mafia romance or any of these things until more recently, but I've been collecting it. And it was funny, like, when you said you were going to do a mafia romance, like, I had already picked this book to read a week before that, because, like, one of my friends had read it, and she was like, you would really like it, and I was like, okay, I'll give it a try, and then when you mentioned it was going to be that one, I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Well, it was hilarious, because you told me, oh, well, I just bought this one, I was like, oh my gosh, that was the first one I was going to ask if you wanted to do it.
Yay!
I see it everywhere, which... Yeah. I went out and got the book too. I have the new cover.
I have the old cover.
Look at us. Old and new. Well,
I didn't like the new cover. I don't know. So I was like, eh. So then I wanted this one, but they stopped selling the first and second, like, of the series with the men on the cover. And I was like, well, crap. So I went on Pango and luckily they had it. Although I'm mad because it was like $30 on there. And the person was selling it for $30. And the thing is, though, I didn't want to buy it until I found the second one on there. So, because I didn't want to buy this and not be able to find the second.
Oh,
so I didn't buy it. Yeah. I saved it. And then I just happened to go on 2 days later and the second one was on for $12. And so I bought that one and then I bought the $30 one. And then I wish I had looked at that girl's page because she had the first one for $12 too. And I was like, oh, damn.
Oh. Do you have a reading goal for the year?
I do. I set it to 110 books.
Ooh, I did 100 last year.
Yeah, I did 100 last year, and I already didn't know if I was going to hit that, because I, like, read all the time, and then I went to college and just stopped, and then I stopped after, like, I got married and becoming a mom, and I just stopped for, like, 8 years, and then I was like, I want to read again, so, like, in 2021, I, like, read, like, 30 books, and then for 2022, I was like, I'm gonna read again. We're gonna do 100, and I did not think I would hit that, and I did, and I think I read 111, but I was just like, I'm just gonna bump it up from what I had it as and not go based off of the books I read, because I feel like I could, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on track. I've read 6, so we are
on it. Drinks. What drink did you pick for this book?
I had picked a Moscow Mule.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. I just felt like, oh my, there was one in there that was mentioned, and I was like, that would be too easy. There was, like, because they mentioned at one point the Kentucky Kiss or something, and I looked that up, and it was some type of whiskey thing, but I was like, I'll just go with Moscow Mule because I like those. Not that I can have it anyway because I'm pregnant.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
but yeah, I picked that, and I was just like, I don't know. I feel like Callum would be like a whiskey, like, traditional whiskey drinker type of person. I don't know.
Yeah.
I just saw that. Because of the library and, like, all of, I don't know. He just seemed like that to me.
I like it. I think so. Yeah.
What did you pick?
Well, it's funny. I was looking at Moscow Mules too. And then I shifted and I went more. You say Ida? Let's just go with Ada. We've heard Aida, but we're going to go with Ada.
I am so sorry if that is wrong. I will apologize in advance. Okay, so the drink I went with, I tried to figure something that Ada would drink, like that's kind of similar to her as a character.
Yeah.
And I was kind of perusing and I found, I kept seeing like this strawberry whiskey lemonade type cocktail. Yeah. Yeah, so I'll have to go back and just kind of like see. I'll probably like randomly like throw one together in a Mod Podge, but you know, it's got the tart. They all have lemon juice. So, you know, she's tart, spicy, and then the strawberries naturally because she is sweet. And then, you know, it's on my cover.
Yeah.
And then, you know, that one thing. Yeah, I just happened to have whiskey left over from one of the other episodes. So I think Moscow Mule and like strawberry lemonade whiskey. I think that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
And obviously the snack is going to be chocolate covered strawberries.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the author, Sophie Lark. She's an Amazon bestselling author who writes intense, intelligent romance with heroines who are strong and capable and men who will do anything to capture their hearts. She lives with her husband, two boys, and baby girl in the Rocky Mountain West. She has quite a few other Mafia-related series. One in particular follows the children of the Brutal Birthright series, which is the one we're reading. So it's a generational thing. That's pretty cool.
I know. I wanted to get that too. And of course, those original covers are not available either.
Oh, shoot. Really?
Yeah.
Well, darn.
I know.
I hate that.
I don't know why those can't be available. Like, why do you have to, like, make the old ones? I don't understand.
Because I know they're out of print. Like, obviously, they're out of print. But I feel like this series was mass marketed. Like, it was everywhere all over.
Oh, yeah.
So I feel like there's got to be a stash of the original covers somewhere. I've noticed a lot of self-published authors, they do, like, the raunchy covers first, and then it's the discreet covers. I've noticed.
I mean, I like the raunchy ones. I don't know.
I know. It's like, hey, I'm not ashamed. I'm reading about this chesty ab man right here. Let's get into the book report. How would you summarize this book?
I mean, I feel like mine was just very simple summary, but you know, it does the job.
it says short summary.
But let's see. Callum Griffin is in the Irish Mafia, the heir, and Ada Gayo. Oh gosh, I don't know. Ada.
We're just doing first names here.
And Ada's in the Italian Mafia. Her and her siblings crash a party of theirs. Things go wrong. And so in order to stop an all-out feud between the two groups from happening, an arranged marriage between Callum and Ada is struck. But they're sworn enemies. Who will get out alive?
Oh, I love it. No, that's good. I like that.
Oh, good.
It's to the point. It gives you all the pertinent details. You know, I like it.
What is your summary?
It's pretty much the same. Girl crashes rival mafia fam's party, sets a library on fire, and then has to marry the eldest son of said family, whom she loathes, and vice versa. At some point between murder attempts and insults, they fall in love.
Oh, I like that, though.
Yeah. Wow. What quotes did you like?
Oh, I put a couple. Oh, gosh.
That's all right. We like quotes here.
The first one I put was from Ada. I think it was when she was talking to Callum about Oliver, her ex. And like she was like, when you're trying to train a dog, you can't give it a single treat or it'll keep barking and slobbering on you forever. And I just liked that one. I was like, she's a spicy one.
Yeah.
And then the other one I put was from Callum. And I think this is like where they're finally like admitting like, oh, like I love this person. And he was like, I can't imagine going back to dull indifference. Ada is the doorway into another world. I want to stay on her side forever.
Aw, that was a cute one. I like that one.
I know. I like that one. What were your favorites?
As I was reading, I did not know anything because I'm dumb. And so I was like looking at the quotes online.
Yeah.
I don't remember who said this, but it says, I've never been one for grand romantic gestures, but even under the most liberal interpretations, I don't think waterboarding counts as foreplay.
Oh, I like that one. I don't know who said that.
I don't. Yeah, I was like, oh, this is funny. I don't remember reading that somewhere in there.
That either. I like that one.
Yeah.
No, I thought there were good ones. She was really funny. And then I just I feel like he had a lot of really good, not like love ones that I was like, oh, I love that you're saying this. Like, there was someone about like, trust is rarer than love. And he's like, talking. Yeah. I like that one too.
There's some good ones. Oh. So Ada said this one. It said, I forget. I think they were dealing with that other guy. I forgot the butcher.
Oh, yeah. The butcher dude. Sawjack, Sajack, some Jack.
That butcher man. Yeah.
A butcher.
So Callum's family is Irish, and then mm-hmm. Ada's is Italian, and then the butcher is
Polish, I think.
Polish. Or Russian?
Polish, I think. Polish. I think it's Polish.
I think it's Polish. So those are the different mafia groups in this series. And the butcher is the big bad, and he's trying to take out the other two. But he's doing a really poor job.
Yeah.
But I think this is after they had some sort of altercation, Ada and Callum. They had an altercation with the butcher, and they're chit-chatting. And she says, in the midst of chaos, there's also opportunity.
Oh, that was I remember that one.
That was cute. And, you know, like, it's like, I know she's young, but she is clearly not dumb. She's got a good noggin.
Yeah.
Not being impulsive. Okay. Favorite part.
Well, I had a couple. I don't know when it, and these are not in order either.
That's fine.
I liked when Ada, she came back to rescue Callum, like after they were both captured by the butcher, and like she had escaped that room or whatever, and she went through the vent to like come back for him, and he was like, oh, she like came back for me. Like, I thought she was gonna ditch me. And she's like, no, you're my husband. So like, I liked that part. And then I also just really liked when she pulled him out of the fire. Like, I think when, like, Oliver and him were going to fall down the stairs or something. And he was like, I could pull her down with me. And I was like, no, she's stronger than that. And then, like, she just pulled him up and off they go. So I liked that one. And then I think I had two more. Oh, yeah. I also liked that she left him her shoe, and the whole reason behind that, some quote she said to him about how like we just were shoes that didn't fit or something, and he like remembered that, so that when he finds her shoe, he's like, oh, she left this for me as a clue, like she's been kidnapped or something.
That was so like, smart.
I would not have thought of that. And then of course the strawberries in the wedding, because you know.
Yeah. That's actually that was one of my favorite parts too. We have like very similar, if not the same, favorite parts.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So whatever was at the wedding, they're still not vibing at this point yet.
Yeah.
And Ada hears, you know, little birdie tells her that Callum is allergic to strawberries. So she, being petty, she eats strawberries before walking down the aisle, saying their vows, and then they have the kiss. So he purposely, like, he was going to be obnoxious about the kiss. So he does it, and then immediately, like, starts going into anaphylactic shock because his allergy is quite severe, which she didn't know. She thought she was just going to, like, make him bust out in hives or something. But no, his mom's like coming with the EpiPen and everyone's freaking out. And she's just like, oops. But at that at that point, he deserved it a little bit at that point. Because I think this was after the waxing.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, you know, I don't feel that bad for you at the moment.
Oh, I was just like, man, that is just, I would never have thought of that, but I just thought that was so great.
it's true, genuine enemies to lovers. Like, she literally tries to kill him.
Well, this is one of the only books I've actually read that I thought was true enemies to lovers. Like, I feel like so many books are like, oh, we just had a disagreement and now we don't like each other, or like, he annoys me, and I'm like, that's not enemies to lovers. I feel like this is like the first one where I was like, this is actually like, this is real enemies to lovers.
Oh yeah, you can't refute it.
No.
They're just like beating each other up, insulting each other, trying to kill each other. You're just like, all right, okay, how is this gonna work? And then again, like Ada in the warehouse, I know a lot of people kind of harped on her for being immature, but it's like, she's 18.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. She's 18. But being that she was 18, she was extremely smart about certain things. So when they got captured and they were taken to the warehouse, she's so, like, she comes back for him. I love that. But it's just her. He's like, oh, you came back for me. And she's rescuing him. And he's like, well, how did you get out? How did you find me? And she's like, oh, you know, I knocked one of my guards out, made some Molotov cocktails, blew some shit up. Cool, cool.
Oh, yeah.
And she's so casual about it.
Yeah, I loved that about her. And then also just how, like, she was, like, just on the end with, like, all the political stuff. And, like, he's like, how do you know all this? And she's just like, I pay attention.
Duh. Well, it's easy when you're a girl because no one expects, you know, you're listening.
Yeah.
Or that you're smart enough to understand what they're talking about half the time. So yeah. She was just like, collecting all the info. What was your least favorite part?
I feel like I don't have a good answer for this because I just loved this book. But
yeah.
I thought there was like one section in the middle where like there was probably like 20 pages of them just talking about politics, like the butcher Polish. And I was just like, after like two pages, I was like, I got the gist. So I don't know. I guess I would say that. And then the other thing would just be like anytime Oliver was there, I was just like, you're annoying and I don't like you.
Oh my God, Oliver.
Mm. No. Just kind of did you have a least favorite part?
I did. So it's overall, I've read some other dark romance and mafia romance, and I don't know, I think it's with how much this one was hyped up. I try to go in with like zero expectations,
yeah,
always, but sometimes it's like, so
you're gonna have them. Yeah.
Yeah. I liked it, but there was a weird, like, over, I don't know how to explain it. It was like a hollowness. Like, it didn't, like, I felt like there was, it could have gone deeper. Like,
yeah.
Like the characters and their development, the plot, the villain stories and stuff like that. I don't know. I felt it was good, but it felt very surface. Like it was just skimming the top. Which, you know, it makes it a quick, easy read, which is great. I read so much dark and twisty stuff. I was thinking it was gonna be like that, and then I was like,
yeah. Oh,
this isn't that dark. All right.
No, it definitely wasn't that dark.
But other than that, I get why they were in there, but there were some slurs and I was not expecting them. And it hit my ears kinda hard. I was like, whoa, okay. It was very jarring. I didn't really like her older brothers in the beginning. They were very like manhandly and kind of nasty. And I was like, okay, I feel like this is a little bit more than tough love and sibling rivalry kind of stuff. But then luckily they calmed down. It's like, once she left, it's like, oh, we actually appreciate having a sister now that she's gone. And then they stopped acting like giant assholes. I was like, dude, you're like pulling her hair and stuff. That's not okay. But
yeah, no, I didn't like them in the beginning. I liked them more towards the end. I mean, there's ones I like more than others. Like, which one? I think it was either Sebastian or Nero. I really liked. I was
Nero,
like,
gets a lot of intrigue. He's the dark. He's the dark and twisty one. So
I think is he the Savage Lover book? I think he's that one, and I've heard that one's really good.
Yeah, the next one is Callum's sister.
Oh, and, yeah, Nessa. And
and the Polish guy's kid.
Mikalaj or something like that. Yeah.
That one's probably going to be really good.
Oh, I know. I'm very excited. And I heard that one's like an actual, like, good Beauty and the Beast captive retelling.
I've been seeing that. Yeah. Like, I can't not read a good retelling. Like, I have to read them all.
No, I am going to read this whole series. I do plan on it.
Yeah.
I have the second one, so I was like, well, I'm committed.
Yeah, I think I'll continue to, because I think, like, as it goes, the depth will be there.
Yeah.
WTF moment.
Oh, I feel like I struggled with this one. I mean, I guess for me, it was like when when and Oliver one because he's just crazy as hell. But like,
oh my god,
when he like declares in that in their old his old beach house or his family's beach house or whatever, and he's just like, if I can't have you, nobody will, and he just sets the whole house on fire, and he's like going to kill both of them, and I'm just like, sir, this is a little too much.
It's a bit much.
Might want to. I'm gonna need you to dial it down.
Oliver definitely fits in that category. Did you have any others?
No, that was really the only one.
I had Oliver also. Obviously, he's extra. But I was expecting, I felt like there was a disconnect, and I was kind of like, wait, what? What? When Oliver ended up being basically the big bad.
Yeah.
And the butcher just kind of fell off and he died off page.
Yeah.
Which maybe that'll be in like one of the brothers' books, because I think one of them kills him. So maybe they'll like backtrack. And but yeah, that was really weird to me. I was like, wait, what? Like, I thought the butcher was so big and scary. He was a big deal. And then it's like, no, he's dead. Anyways, here's this loser that can't take no for an answer. And
yeah, no, that was weird.
And has like mommy daddy issues and really needs therapy.
Oh yeah.
I just kept thinking he was going to be tied to the butcher somehow. Like his family. That would have been good. Well, that's why I kept thinking. I was like, this is so kind of out of left field. He has to be connected to the butcher. And then he wasn't. And I was like, oh, okay. All right.
They really did gloss over that like super quick. And I was just like, oh, I guess this is done.
I think they'll probably do like flashbacks, and whichever brother killed him, they'll probably do a flashback of it in his book. And I guess it's his son's book next, so they might do it. They might talk about it in that.
Oh, yeah, it is the butcher's son. So,
because, you know, vengeance! What else? Callum sets a spa day up for Ada.
Yeah.
He wants her to be primped and, you know, like a hairless, naked mole rat. And she doesn't know what she's getting. Like, he just ordered everything and then she just showed up. So she gets her massage, like a facial, mani-pedi, and then she's snoozing after her massage. And then the woman just slaps some wax down and just yank. Like, you cannot wax someone when they're snoozing. Like, you could have been punched in the face. Like, that is a very, what is that movie, The 40-Year-Old Virgin? Where he's like, Kelly Clarkson. Yeah, you can't, I was like, what? You can't just go around doing that to people. But yeah, that was. I mean, it was funny, but it wasn't. But it was. It's like, oh my God.
No, I just remember reading that and I was like, I'd be so mad if you, that's just awful. Because yeah, I'm like, she's sleeping. I'm like, you would think they'd wake her up and be like, oh, hey, by the way, like, this is, and no.
No, just putting hot wax down there and pacha, and like they're sleep. No, but honestly, I was surprised that she didn't just wait for him to go to sleep and like wax his huevos or something. Cause she's pretty petty. I was like, oh, she's gonna get him back good, and I wonder what she's gonna do. Nope, just tries to kill him.
No, she's like, think Trevor thing with a good payback.
Oh yeah, it was great. Red flags.
I put stalker ex boyfriend on there. Very stalker vibes. And I had put like possessive partner, but like, I mean, I feel like it didn't bother me as much with Callum just because like, I don't know, that's just like his persona, but like the part, like things where he'll be like, you're all mine. Or, I don't know. That didn't bother me as much, but like, it was just more like the stalker things and like the him freaking out about her talking to other guys. I'm just like, I don't know about that.
Men. It's just, well, with Callum, you know, he's the love interest, so you know he's gonna do a bit of groveling and he'll redeem himself by the end of it. But Oliver, it's just like, my man, shut up.
Oh, he was really obnoxious. Did you have any other red flags?
Can't take a hint.
No.
At all. Shows up everywhere you are. Creepy. Hits on you in front of your husband. Gross and disrespectful. And then Ada has one. You know, sets your library on fire. I think that's a pretty unforgivable offense.
I see all the books behind you. I just, can you imagine? Oh my god. I would be so upset if someone set my library on fire.
When I read that, I was just like, that's like a no-no. I'm like, libraries are like, they're, that's like an essence of a per, I'm just, no.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, she didn't mean it. It was an accident, but I was still, because, like, she just got done talking about, like, all the classic, like, original print, like, old books they had, and then she's like, oops! Like, the place just burns down. I was like, oh, they can't, that's not something you can just go and buy back. Those are probably one of a kinds.
Well, that and his watch, although she did end up getting the watch back.
She did. So, I don't think she was thinking about it. She was, so basically, Ada was really nosy, and they crashed this party. It was Callum's sister's party, and they crashed, and she wanted to be nosy and see, you know, kind of how the other half lives kind of deal. So she sneaks in the house to use the bathroom, and then after that, she's like, all right, I'm gonna check out the library. And she's in there, and I guess there are these different objects that Callum's grandfather passed down to all the kids. So he gave Callum a stopwatch. And, you know, Ada's kind of looking, she's grabbing it, looking at it. And then Callum walks in the room, and she's like, oh, shit. And she hides behind a chair. And then she's like, okay. And I guess she's in front of the fireplace, so she's literally sweating. And she's like, okay, I need to get out of here. They're going to kill me if he finds me, which I feel like would be a little severe.
Extra. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, he's not Oliver, but she's like, I got to get out of here. So she thinks that she's going to take this tassel off of one of the drapes, and she pulls it over and she puts it in the fireplace thinking it's just going to, you know, he'll smell smoke and then he'll leave. But that's not what happens. Like, at least like a quarter of the library burns down because it, I don't know what kind of fabric that was, but it like went up immediately, which she was holding the stopwatch at the time. I think she forgot about it. And then she escapes, and Callum and his friend bodyguard.
They
find her and her brother Sebastian by a pier or something, and he's asking for the watch, and then that's when she realizes, oh, oops, I forgot to put this back. And so she ends up throwing it in the water so that she and Sebastian can get away, which was really smart.
Yes,
she thinks on her feet. But yeah, so that was the whole watch thing. So what ends up happening once they finally stop hating each other, she hires some like diver YouTuber that gets paid to go find things for people in large bodies of water. So he ended up finding the watch, and then that's like her big gift to him at the end of the book, and it's super cute.
Yeah.
It was just cute. There are just like a lot of cute little things in this.
It was very cute.
Is there something to be learned from this book that applies to daily life?
I feel like I went very cheesy with this, and I just put, don't
we
judge
love
a
cheese.
Book. I put, don't judge a book by its cover, just because they did come from like different sides, but like they actually had like more in common than they thought. And like, they actually like, I don't know, they just, there was just more to them than meets the eye. And so like, once they actually like decided to shut up for a second, they realized, oh, like this person's not so terrible. And then we obviously fell in love.
Yeah. It's like, you just gotta chill out. You just gotta chill out a little bit, and then, you know, don't judge everyone so harshly. I like that. That's a good one.
Did you have one?
I had like three. Don't be nosy, else you end up married to a mafia man that you don't like. Burn a library down. And then, obviously, this one's for Oliver. Well, his ghost. When a woman says no,
they mean no.
She means it. Please listen to her. I don't know how many times throughout this book she told him no to his face. And he was like, you know, you love me. We're meant to be together. And she's like, no, seriously, please leave me alone. Like, I'm married.
I mean, I just feel like there are people that hear what they want to hear, and they just create like their own reality.
Living in an alternate reality is what Oliver was doing. And the last one, it's actually, so Oliver kidnaps her towards the end of the book, and that's when she leaves the shoe, and Callum figures it out, and he goes and saves her. But Oliver puts her in the trunk of his car
And I don't know about you, and I don't know about everyone listening, but when I was fairly young, my mother sat me down and explained if I was ever put in the trunk of a car, how to get out. So that is something, you know, useful. I know, like, we didn't technically, she didn't do it in the book, but I was like, oh, that's the thing. Unfortunately, that is a thing that's probably good to know. So
I think I also learned how to get out of one at some point. You never know.
Yeah. So I know in older model vehicles, you can kick or punch out the tail light, and then you're supposed to wave your hand around. But I think with newer vehicles, there's like a release hatch, a little thing you pull, and it shoves the back seats down, which it depends on your situation. I don't know if you'd want to be in the cab with whoever put you in a trunk, but it's a way that it'll shove the seats down. And I think some of them, it might pop the trunk from the inside.
Yeah.
So it depends on what model of car it is, but there's a few ways to get out of a trunk if you ever need to. Hopefully you don't, but yeah.
I like that, and how to get off duct tape or rope. I learned how to do that too. So
how do you do that?
The duct tape one was like you broke it across the knee. There was that one. Or they also just said, like, if you're just continually rubbing your hands back and forth, like the friction makes it snap. There's that one. And then I can't remember the rope one right now, but I watched some video. It was on Facebook, and I just was watching it for like 10 minutes, and it was all these things, and I was like, I'm going to remember all of this.
And you remembered a couple.
I did.
Yeah, there is, I recently saw a video kind of like that, and it's like, if someone's behind you in your car, and they like wrap cord around your seat, and they're trying to choke you, the goal is to turn yourself sideways so it's not directly like on your esophagus, and then to get your hand up and then get out. And then another one is like you just pop your seat back on top of them and run. So, you know, these are useful things, like slightly horrifying, but, you know, useful. Do you have a spicy snippet that you would like to share about this book?
I don't have anything for that. I feel like I was trying to think, I was like, an unpopular opinion. I was like, no, because I feel like most people just really love this book, or like things. And I also just really loved it. So I was like, I don't know what hot take I would have about.
Yeah, this book was your jam.
It was. I don't know. It worked for me. I just really liked it.
I'm so glad that you like it so much, because this was like your first foray into little dark, little shady mafia romance. It's a good one to start with.
Yeah, I thought it wasn't like too crazy. I mean, like, I've read dark stuff before, not even intentionally, because some books will mismark it, you know, and like the stuff like that doesn't bother me, but I was just like, oh, like, I feel like this is a good like segue into this sort of thing.
Oh yeah,
did you have one?
Of course I did. So I kind of touched on this a little bit earlier. A lot of people were getting on to Ada, her character, saying, oh, I hated her. I couldn't stand her. She was so immature. She's so obnoxious, blah, blah, blah. Again, she is 18 years old. There's this. This is a huge age gap story, by the way. Like, she's 18 and he's like 30. Yeah. So she's 18 years old, has led an extremely sheltered life. And I think all that considered, I think she was a badass. Like, yes, she could be stubborn, but what teenager isn't? So that, but this, okay, the spicy part. I didn't like Callum for a good majority of this book.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like he was getting down to her level of immaturity, and some of the stuff he was doing and saying, I'm just sitting there thinking, dude, you're 30. You're 30. You're the adult in this situation. Like, you can't get down to that level and then expect it not to just keep going. But yeah. I ended up, he was okay in the end. It was okay. All was well. But the majority, like the first part of this book, I was like, this guy. Of course, Oliver's obviously going to be worse.
But, oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. I was just like, this guy. But he got it together.
He does. He gets better towards the end.
When he goes to save her from Oliver, they're in the fire, and he's about to fall in with Oliver. I think something, they're on the stairs or a floor, and something collapses. Yeah.
whatever they're about, I think they're about to fall in a room underneath them, and it's fully engulfed. It's crispy. It's like, if you fall into that, you're probably not coming out. So Ada shows up at the last moment, and she's telling him to grab her hand, and he's like, no, I love you. Go on without me. It's all very dramatic. And then she's, I love it, because she's just like, I'm just going to jump. I'm just going to follow you in there if you fall in there, idiot. And so then he's like, oh, God, okay. Oh, so okay. Then he lets her pull him out, and it's just like, yeah, that's right. You saved her, but she saved you. Awesome. But yeah, nothing too spicy. When I was going into reviews, a lot of people kind of were like, I hated Kevin in the beginning of this book. And then they were like, but I love him now. So,
yeah.
Which is kind of like Ada. So that works.
She just didn't bother me at all. Like, I didn't have a problem with her. But I think it's also just because I went in being like, yeah, well, she's 18. Like, it's, and yeah.
I think people were forgetting, and they were thinking she was supposed to be like in her 20s or like close to 30.
Yeah.
Like he was. And I was like, nah, she kid. It's an arranged marriage. Like, I get why they did it, but it was so.
It felt really sudden. Yeah.
I feel like that's something your fathers, your families were probably like hinting at, or like low key bringing up for a while. But now they're just like, oh, we need to end this feud. We gotta marry off our kids. And then it ended up working. But it was just like, all right. Let's get into the speed round. Who would you want to be besties with and why?
I put Nessa, because I just really liked her. I thought she was like super sweet. She's always down to like do adventurous things. And I was just like, I don't know. I feel like she would be like the type of person that would be like a good loyal friend to have.
Yeah. Well, at first when Ada has to go live with this family because she's married into it now, Nessa was the only one that really truly accepted her and was nice to her.
Yeah.
She's going to have an interesting book.
I know. I'm very intrigued. Who did you put for besties?
I thought about Nessa. I definitely would pick Nessa. And then Sebastian. He's the youngest. Aww. He's the youngest of Ada's brothers. He wasn't in it too much, but he seemed to just genuinely be nice like Nessa and just laid back. I mean,
is that the one that got his knee injured?
Yeah. So basically, to win Ada over, Callum. To be fair, he didn't tell the bodyguard guy to do this. He just got carried away. So her brother, Sebastian, had like these sports scholarships and stuff. He was a star athlete. And I think he was like in his junior or senior year. You know, there's only so many opportunities with scouts and stuff. So they're trying to get away from Callum and his bodyguard. Obviously, a fight breaks out, and the bodyguard essentially like breaks Sebastian's knee, which is obviously going to ruin his athletic career. Yeah, so that really sucked. But even with that, he was just kind of didn't blame Ada, even though
technically
it would have been fine if he were a little mad at her. That would have been acceptable, but he was so nice about the whole thing. I was like, yeah, what a nice kid, he's cool. Who do you want to throat punch and why?
I mean, I put Oliver Castle.
Shocking.
Just shocking, because he's just, you know, he's just not used to getting what he wants. And so he just is like, well, obviously you didn't mean that. And I'm like, no, she did, but you just can't hear stuff that is upsetting to you. Yeah. Did you put someone different?
No. Obviously, it's going to be Oliver. He has some genuine issues with his childhood and his parents, and it's like, dude, you can go to therapy for that. You need to go talk to someone about that instead of having these weird like fantasies in your head, like, oh, this woman's perfect for me whether she says so or not, and we're gonna have this perfect life together whether she likes it or not, and da da da. It's like, that's not how it works. She's a human being with free will. So, but no, he was delusional. Please stop. But seriously, people need to go to therapy. It's really not that bad. Like, get on meds, go to therapy, go do yoga, meditate. There's tons of stuff you could try.
Like, just try
read
something.
Read a book.
Just try something other than, like, kidnapping and murder, you know?
And read a book.
Don't read dark romance. It'll give you ideas. Who would you want on your side in a fight and why?
Is the oldest brother Dante, I think?
I think it's Dante.
I don't know. He just seemed like that older brother that, like, has a good head on his shoulders, but also could, like, kick butt if he needed to. Like, I was like, I feel like he would be a good, strong person to have on your side to fight.
Oh, yeah. Because they kept talking about how huge and muscly he was the whole book.
Yeah. Who did you pick for that one?
I went with Ada because she was with it. Anytime they got into any kind of situation, she's just like, okay, I'm not going to panic. Let me think of things I can do. And she usually gets herself out of all of the incidents. But yeah, I feel she would have a plan.
She would just follow.
Yeah, I would just follow as like, Ada, what do you think we should do? And then she'd be like, we should do this. I'd be like, all right, here we go. Perfect. Yeah. Who would you cast for these characters or assign zodiac signs based on vibe?
So I could not think of people for these. Like, that was the struggle. So I went with the signs. So I thought for sure that Ada was Aries because she's like fiery and passionate and confident. And I don't know. That just was emanating for her. And then for Callum, I put a Scorpio because I feel like they're more elusive and mysterious, but also like wise. And I feel like I just got that vibe from him.
I like that. I would agree. I would agree with those. Yeah. Especially the Aries, like spot on. I didn't even think of any other sign for her. I was just like, oh, she's an Aries. Done. Yeah.
What did you cast them or did you do zodiac signs too?
It's funny because I did not do zodiacs, but I did cast. I forgot that I hadn't, so I did it right before we recorded. So it's probably not, you know, the best choices, but off the top of my head, for Ada, this actress has been everywhere lately, but she is absolutely killing it. Jenna Ortega.
Oh, yeah.
She would such a good Ada. Most people are going to know her now from Wednesday. She plays Wednesday Addams. There's going to be a season two. I'm excited.
I still need to watch season one.
Really?
I don't know. You know when something gets so overhyped that you're like, can it live up to the, I don't know. But I've heard it does. So I just have to do it. No, she's super talented.
Oh, yeah. For Callum, he's probably not the best choice. But I was kind of on a time crunch. Aaron Taylor Johnson, he was in Bullet Train.
Yeah.
He was in the Godzilla movie. He was in one of the Marvel movies as...
Oh, he's in Kick-Ass.
That's his claim to fame, is Kick-Ass. That's what we think. Let's see what some other people think. I've got some Goodread reviews here. Goodreads reviews here, and we're gonna go low to high, so we'll end happy. I think that'll be good. let's see. We're gonna start with Lily. Gave it 1 star. Why did I do this to myself?
Oh.
Aw. Lane gave it 1 star. This was objectively bad. I finished it solely... Don't hold back. I finished it solely because I was on a plane. Not only is it sloppy writing and shit storytelling plus zero chemistry, but there's derogatory language. WTF. The only thing brutal about this book was reading it.
I mean, I can't relate.
Those are some strong feelings.
That is strong feelings.
And that is okay. We don't have to agree on everything. That is perfectly fine. Emily also gave it 1 star. Well, this was brutal.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, I love a good dad joke. All right.
No, they are good.
Okay. Now we're getting up. We're moving on up. Laura gave it 2 stars. This honestly just sounded like it was written by a horny teenager.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not trying to be mean, but I don't think a teenager would write at this level. See, I say that and watch. Someone's going to come out somewhere like, I wrote this whole, like, magical series when I was 15 and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, all right.
Good for you.
Heart gave it 2 stars.
This was terrible. I will probably still read the entire series.
I mean, I understand that
too. Yes. Well, yeah, because sometimes I'll read a book and it's not that great and I'm like, but then there's enough intrigue for one of the other side characters and I'm like, okay, maybe their story's better. Yeah. And then the next time, okay, maybe their story's better. And then the next thing you know, I'm like five books in. Lena gave it 3 stars. They fuck twice and suddenly they're in love. Not very enemies to lovers of them. She literally tried to kill him.
Yeah. I was going to say that. And like, there was a lot of steamy things. It just, I think they'd only did sleep together, I think, maybe twice. But there was a lot of other stuff too, though.
I think their physical attraction started first. And then, but also there, it's like, think of it like a pressure cooker. The situation they're in is like, it's all elevated high emotion. And a lot of people will bond. Like during those kinds of things. So I don't know. I thought it made sense. But all right. That's fair. Nicole also gave it 3 stars. The only thing that saved this book were Callum being over possessive and protective over Ada before he even caught feelings. And Ada being a badass bitch and being the reason why 4 grown ass men solved any problems. That's true. I mean,
that's very true.
That is true. I just love when, like, women, like, solve the problems and then don't get the credit for it.
Yeah, I'm just but like, okay.
She started getting her credit towards the end, at least.
Yeah, she did.
Tana gave it 4 stars. Truly enemies to lovers. They actually tried to kill each other in this one. LOL.
They did. I agree.
Like, she almost succeeded. Like, close.
I know. I just wonder.
If his mom didn't have that EpiPen, it could have been curtains. Only for You gave it 4.8 stars. If I would be allergic to strawberries and Ada would have fed me with them, I would have eaten every single one for that woman. And then they did four strawberry emoji.
That's funny.
I think she's a good character.
No, I like her.
I think she had the most character development of any of the others in the book.
Yeah, for sure.
Lisu gave it 5 stars. I think I found another good Mafia series, all caps, loved this. Mostly in Mafia books, the main girl is depressed, cries a lot, or something like that, all caps. But Ada, no, girl was so funny, love her. I mean, they're not necessarily wrong about a lot of the females in other Mafia books, but yeah, I was going through and that was kind of something that... Before we had agreed on this, I was kind of looking around and it's like, I don't want to read one of those. I'm a damsel. Oh no, you have to save me. Because that's kind of the big trope with the Mafia books.
Oh, is it? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when I say, like, she's not wrong. She's not. But no, I like this one. She's a strong female character.
Independent. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Matau gave it 5 stars. Witnessed in real time the feminism leaving my body while reading this book.
Oh, I like that one.
That's a good one. Those were some good reviews. Now, it is your time to shine. How many and what kind of phallic symbols would you rate this book?
I mean, I just went very, very basic with the phallic symbols, but you know, it's fine. I would give it 5 eggplants. I would. I just loved this book. I mean, like I said, I hadn't read any other Mafia romance books, so like I don't know if like this is like even that great of a one in the grand scheme of things. I don't know. But I don't know, her writing really worked for me and I just really liked both of them. Like, and I feel like especially Ada being like such a badass and like just not like taking any crap and like just, I don't know. I just loved it. Everything about it worked for me. I just had a great time with the book.
It was fun.
I also very much enjoyed the sex scenes. I don't know. I felt like they were tastefully done, but like did a lot still. I don't know. I liked them.
I forgot to mention this, but the shower scene. You both totally, if this were IRL, you would have busted ass in that shower with how like they were talking about like how energetic it was and stuff.
Oh yeah, I know. I was like, ooh, that, yeah.
You would slip and fall and break something. There's no way. You can't convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
Unless they had like those grippies, like, you know, those like mats they put down. Like, unless they had a no slip mat, which they very well could have.
You never know.
I call baloney. It was good. Like, it still was good, but I'm reading it in the back of my head. I'm like, there ain't no way. There ain't no way you're not slipping and falling in that shower. I gave it 3 eggplants. I liked it. It did feel a little hollow to me, but overall I liked it. I think it just could have been like the writing style and the world building, just the way it was described wasn't clicking
enough.
And that's a me thing. That's the author's great. Great job. It's a me thing. It's me.
I'm the problem with me.
Taylor was right. And now it is time for the bi-weekly boner. This week's boner is from an article called A Definitive Ranking of Irish Slang Words for Penis by David Elkin. You know, Callum's Irish.
Yeah.
Irish peens. All right. But I hate this one. That's why I chose it. Because I want to tell everyone I hate it. Number 7 on the list is schlong. See, your face. It's terrible. It's terrible.
Oh my God.
It's literally one of my least favorite euphemisms. It's just like, I had no idea. Allegedly, according to this article, it originated in Ireland. Somewhere.
I didn't know that.
I would have never guessed. But apparently there's a fictional county called Schlongford, and that's what it's based off of. I have no idea. But I was like, I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like that.
I forget what the other ones were. They weren't really, they were like pretty basic ones, like you would
mean.
But this one, I was just like, what? How dare you? How dare you come up with that? That's terrible. I hate it. That's the wonky wire for this week. But eventually, I'd like to hear some flashy flute descriptions from all of you listeners. No pictures, please. Just written descriptions. You can email the goods to turgidtomespodcast@gmail.com, put biweekly boner in the subject line, and don't forget, you must include the name of the book or article and author. We did it!
Yay!
Thanks so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me come on.
I hope you had a good time.
No, I did, and I'm glad I read this book, and now I have a series I can keep reading.
But we can, like, sidebar at book clubs from now on. We'll be like, what book are you on?
Yeah, no, I want to start the next one soon, because I also want to do a reading vlog for this series. So.
Ooh, that'll be nice. Yeah. All right, so your vlog, Instagram, BookTube, same thing. What is the name again? What do you go under?
Rainy Blue Reads.
Rainy Blue Reads. Everyone should go subscribe, follow. Yeah. Join me back here in 2 weeks for our next read, Promises and Pomegranates by Sav R. Miller.
And remember to fix each other's crumbs and don't let the dicks get you down.
Toodles.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to support the podcast, you can do so by rating and reviewing on Apple Podcasts or liking, subscribing, and following on whatever platform you're listening on. Not enough action for you? You can follow Turgid Tomes Podcast on Instagram, like the Facebook page, or join the Goodreads group where you can chat with other listeners, lurk tawdry reviews, and get a heads up on what we're reading and drinking. If you have any suggestions or feedback, you can send it to turgidtomes@gmail.com. And last but not least, remember to fix each other's crowns and don't let the dicks get you down.